In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the great joys of being together here these days is the privilege of coming to God's house to worship, whether it be via detour to an auditorium or now on the restored walkways to this sanctuary. Together with the psalmist, we would say, "Oh, how lovely is your habitation, O Lord of hosts. My soul thirsts, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." And especially with the awesome theme that we have for this week's worship service, if you have noticed on the front of the bulletin, the word from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10, verse 16, "He who hears you hears me." It's rather awesome that our Lord God, Heavenly Father, entrusts to his people, in vessels of clay, his holy word and the administration of his holy sacraments to feed and nurture and inspire his people and to give us the means for reaching out to the lost who have not yet been led to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But immediately after that half verse are three little black dots representing the omission of Luke chapter 10 or 16, B. He that rejects you rejects me, and he that rejects me rejects him that sent me. And here we have a grim reminder of how we once were, born by nature, enemies of God, and who would reject his Son and his Word. But thanks be to God, who by his precious grace has called us through the gospel unto salvation, full redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of eternal life. And so it is indeed a precious opportunity to think upon these words which were read from the lectern a few moments ago. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus came with a message, a ministry, and on a mission. The message is the good news of the kingdom of God, God's gracious and merciful, undeserved rule that he would set up in the hearts of all people of this world. It is the good news that brings us life and salvation and a new way of living. It is the good news that should be taken from place to place across the countryside, to little hamlets, to the villages, the towns, the cities, and don't forget the synagogues. And let's remember, it begins with you and me. What a wonderful message, and what a ministry. Jesus beheld the milling crowds, harassed like sheep without a shepherd, torn and bleeding as if they had been attacked by wolves. What he saw is so much like the society of the world in which you and I live today. So much of it we see on television, no matter whether it be LA or Somalia, Bosnia, Herzegovina, or all the little violences and oppressions and problems that occur in all the little Fort Waynes up and down our beautiful land. The crowds are harassed. Isn't it amazing? I continue to marvel how TV talk show hosts can come up with so many extreme examples of deviation from God's divine law. 5 days a week, season after season, it's enough to make one feel repulsive and revolting. But our Lord had a ministry. He had compassion on them, compassion on the multitudes, the same kind of compassion he would give you and me. It was a compassion so deep and so vast, it was the pain of love that indeed drove him to the cross in our place and for the whole world. And this is the compassion that he would instill in us, that we become enabled through the means of grace more and more every day to reflect God's love, the capacity to show mercy to people in need. And we know that there are many who do never appear on TV screens, who are the obscure, the oppressed, and the forgotten. And there are those who've learned to blaspheme the Savior's name and to reject his holy word. But our Lord has compassion on the multitudes. And so he leaves with his church the same kind of ministry that he had, a mission. He did not overburden his disciples with statistics such as we are capable of producing today. He simply informed them, the vast multitudes, look upon them as a ripe harvest field, ready to be brought into the kingdom of God. And though you are a small band of people, faithful disciples, yet I give you a power, the mandated privilege of prayer. Come boldly to the throne of grace, where as dear children you can speak to your dear Heavenly Father and with a specific request, do that which we are not capable of doing by ourselves. Send workers into the Lord's harvest. We know in today's world that the term megacities is no longer adequate. David Barrett has already designed two other terms, super cities and super giants. It is estimated by the year 2050 that the city of Shanghai, China, will exceed 42 million in population. It is estimated by the year 2010, our own country will exceed 335 million in population. Staggering, yes. Beyond the immediate capabilities of our church body in this world, yes. Impossible with God, no. He invites us to pray. Pray that the Lord would send workers into his harvest. When we accept this privilege of prayer, we identify ourselves with our Heavenly Father's good and gracious will, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We commit ourselves to his mercy and grace and the power of his sending. We, in the Savior's name, begin indeed ourselves to become involved in mission wherever the Lord places us and wherever we can put our resources together in prayer and goods and talents to spread the good news of our Savior's mission, our Savior's message, our Savior's ministry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.